So I want to take just a moment at the starting of the time that we spend in God's Word, and I want to review some core elements that we have for Church on the Rock. We have three core elements, and I want to spend just a minute emphasizing those. We do that from time to time. The first one is our mission statement. It's to make disciples of Jesus, and that assignment's found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Where Jesus told us that we are to go, and as we go, we're to make disciples of every nation. Of course, he said more than that. I'm just paraphrasing it, but he said, you know, go teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? We do that by communicating truth that never changes to a constantly changing culture. The culture is always shifting, amen? The culture is always changing. What's important today may not be important tomorrow, but truth never changes. We communicate the truth of God, the truth of Jesus, by two things, really. Not just what we teach, so that's important. We have to declare, we have to speak, we have to teach, we have to communicate verbally truth. But we also communicate it by how we live, amen? Those two things have to work hand in hand. So that's the first core element. The second core element that we have is corporate prayer. Our source of strength and power. We seek His face and His blessing together on Wednesday evenings. While the youth service and the Awana Children's Ministry, those programs are in full swing on Wednesday evening, there's a handful of believers that gather in here, not to receive a blessing, but to labor in prayer to be a blessing, to be the conduit that channels God's power into the good work that He's doing through Church on the Rock. Prayer is vital. We need private prayer lives, but we also need to pray together as a family of believers. That's our second core element. And our third one is life groups. Our church family connections, our belonging, and much of our ministry and discipleship comes by doing life together in our life groups. We do a lot of ministry through it. Those are our three core elements. So as I've covered those, I want to ask you to ask yourself a question. You might even want to make a note on it because you can go home and think about it and pray on it. But ask yourself this question. How am I doing in these three core areas? How am I doing at helping to make disciples of Jesus? How am I doing it at powering the church mission through corporate prayer? And how am I doing it belonging, being a part, ministering through a life group? How am I doing in those three core areas? Helping to make disciples of Jesus, powering the church mission through corporate prayer, and belonging, being a part and ministering through a life group. Spiritual health is like physical health. It takes time, effort, and attention. It's work. It may be more work for some than others, but if you compare it to physical health, there are very few people who wake up and just go, wow, look at that. I was unhealthy yesterday, but today I woke up and I'm healthy because I just thought some good healthy thoughts and my body just got into shape and my heart is strong and, you know, wouldn't that be great, right? I mean, if you could bottle that and put it in a drink, you know, how many gyms would go out of business and personal trainers? But if it could be that easy, it requires an investment. It requires work. But when we talk about spiritual investment, spiritual health, that investment produces life-changing, really eternally changing things. It changes us forever, and it changes those around us, and those changes last forever. So as I encourage you to think about how you're doing in those three areas, I also want to remind you that you have a connection card, not just a prayer card. So on the prayer card, you could say, Jeff, would you pray for me in this area? But that connection card, the other side of that is, if you would say, Jeff, would you get the right pastor in the church, or the right life group leader to connect with me, to help me in one of these areas? I want to do more in this area. We'll do that. So you can put that on your connection card right now, or how I can pray for you, you can put that on your prayer card. We're going to go into today's message, and I hope that God speaks to you. It's my prayer that God speaks to you. I know He has spoken to me as I prepared for today. We're in this series, The Wonders of His Love. And so I say, as He speaks to you, there may be something that comes to mind that you go, hey, I'm not just putting that on my note sheet, but I want to put that on my prayer card. I want to get Jeff to pray with me. So we're in this mini-series, Wonders of His Love. In this series, we're celebrating the triune nature of God in the coming of Jesus. So last Sunday, Joe focused on the heart of the Father in the coming of Jesus. Today, we're looking at the movement of the Holy Spirit in the conception of Christ. Usually, we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we kind of switch the order a little bit because we're going to focus on the Son next Sunday, right, on the 22nd, just ahead of Christmas. So last Sunday, Joe focused on the heart of the Father and the coming of Jesus. We're looking at the triune nature of God in the coming of Christ. This week, we're going to look at the movement of the Holy Spirit in the conception of Christ. Next week, our Christmas service will celebrate the coming of the Son. As I mentioned earlier, we'll also celebrate communion as a part of that service. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, or start them on your phone, your tablet, whatever you've got, your iPad, your iPhone, your, you know, wherever you like to do that at. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, I'm going to be reading the Christian Standard Bible. If you're new to the Scriptures, the blue Bible in front of you is English. It's page 723. What is it we say? Don't take my word for anything, but take God's word for everything. I don't know about you, but man, sometimes I'm sitting in a service and, you know, before I pastored, I was there, man. I was attending. And sometimes a pastor would say, open your Bible and read. And we'd read the Scripture and he'd start preaching. And you know what? I keep reading the Scripture sometimes. And sometimes I'd miss like the first third of the message. But God was speaking to me through his word. Man, if you start reading Luke chapter 1 and God just starts, just tell me when you get to the end of Revelation what God said to you, you know, just keep on reading, man. It's just about God speaking and moving in our lives, amen? We just want to hear from God. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Just the details, listen. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Oh, but she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign." Amen. "Over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Amen. You want a constant in your life? There it is. Build your house on that. Something that never shifts and something that never changes. He is Lord. Verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I've not had a sexual relation with any man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So there's the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. His job was done, amen? Mary had a long road ahead, didn't she? Man, how powerful is that? Verse 37, too, it's good for us to hear that. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. This passage is the setup for the virgin birth. The virgin birth. The Bible is full of miracles. Life itself is a miracle, but wow, the life of Jesus, right? His life, the life that gives life and light to men again, to men who were in darkness, to men who literally were dead men walking. He gives life and he gives light. This conception is a miracle within the already miracle we call life. It's a miracle of Christmas, and the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for the conception. And that's our title today, A Catalyst for Conception. That's what the Holy Spirit was in this happening right here. The Holy Spirit was the catalyst for the conception. The power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit overshadowed. And life was conceived in her womb. Something that was not there became a reality, because you know what? Nothing is impossible with God. God made everything out of nothing. Well, that's what we say. It's not really nothing. It's the same power. It's the power of the Most High. He has the ability to create something. She's like, "How will this be? This can't be. I've never been with a man." No. God has all kinds of capabilities and abilities and ways to do things that we know nothing about. So whatever you think is impossible with God, just wad that up and throw it in the trash can. God can do it. God can do it. Now, did you notice all the details, the particulars, the specifics in that passage. Like there was a specific time, a specific angel who had a specific assignment, who was sent to a specific house or lineage. And within that lineage, a very specific person, a very specific individual named Mary, who also met certain specific qualifications. That's a lot of specifics, amen? So are we just learning facts and details about the conception of Jesus? Well, yes and no. The details are good things for us to learn, to kind of assimilate, hey, these are the facts, but there's more to it than that. See, the details are not only about Gabriel and Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus, but these details reveal how God works, that God is in the details. Have you ever heard somebody say the devil's in the details? Like you're trying to make something happen and you just have all these little things that don't go right. It's like, man, the devil just gets in the details. No, God's in the details. Even when things aren't going the way we want them to, guess what? God's in the detail because Mary had some plans. She was betrothed. She's getting married. God changed all the details about that, didn't he? I mean, he radically altered her plans for her near future. So we're going to look at some specifics, if you haven't gathered, some details. And I want to encourage you to take notes for your life group. We even have it up there, life group notes. Take some life group notes. Matter of fact, what we're going to do is we're going to go through some specifics. The first thing we're going to talk about is a specific time. And as you take notes on the specifics, leave a little room. Because we're going to talk through them one time, then we're going to revisit some of them again. Okay? So a specific time. Did you notice that detail? 6 months. Right? In the 6 months of what? In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. There's timing involved here. 6 months after Zechariah was in the temple, he saw an angel, the same angel Gabriel. You can read about it earlier in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. There was a message for Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then here 6 months later, God sends Gabriel on another mission. That message was to an older man and to an older woman who were considered childless. They would never have children. They were considered barren. They were too old to have children. Well, except the fact that nothing is impossible with God. So this time God sends the angel with another message, another mission, 6 months later to a virgin named Mary with another impossibility. So why in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist? Remember, that's who they were having, John the Baptist, the forerunner for Jesus. Well, if you read on in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, it tells us that within a matter of days of Gabriel visiting Mary, Mary set out to see Elizabeth, to meet her. Remember what Gabriel said, like, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. The one conceived of you, he's going to be conceived in you by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, your relative Elizabeth, who's considered to be childless, she's in her 6th month. You know who knew that? Nobody, when you read the gospel accounts. She was staying in seclusion. They weren't telling anybody. They didn't know what to do with this. It was so unusual. Nobody knew. Well, Elizabeth clearly knew. Zechariah knew. God knew. Gabriel knew. And Mary just found out. Look back at the passage again. See what was happening? God's telling her all this news through Gabriel. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. The Holy One to be... What a message, right? The Holy One to be born of you is going to be called the Son of God. Would you be just a little freaked out right now? Right? I mean, you had a question, how can this be? The angel explains it to you. But then he tells you, I want you to consider your relative Elizabeth. I want you to think about her for a moment. Because even she has conceived a son in her. That's where the nothing is impossible with God comes in. What's he doing? He's giving her very specific information at a very specific time. Why? Well, Mary's life is turning upside down. So little John the Baptist was 6 months old in the womb. Hadn't been born yet, right? He's 6 months old. He's still in the womb. God's counting from conception, by the way. If you ever wondered when life begins, conception, he's counting 6 months down, right? This was confirmation for Mary in two ways. One, Elizabeth is having a baby in her old age, and nobody knew about it, but the angel knew about it and told her. So right away she packs up her bags and goes, and sure enough, Nothing is impossible with God. She's having a baby. But not only that, when you read the story, when Elizabeth greeted, or when Mary greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says that John the Baptist leapt in the womb. Isn't that cool? Jump shot. Jesus is coming. Not only does life begin at conception, that child is spiritually sensitive to the environment around him. God is on the move, and John the Baptist, isn't that amazing? Knows it. So what do you think that did for Mary? Well, look at that. Apparently nothing is impossible with God. She knows she's had a visitation from an angel, but do you ever have doubts even after you know God has spoken something to you? Man, I have times where I think, I will never doubt the Lord again. Give me about a week. Something else doesn't go right. Get discouraged. Suddenly I'm wondering, where is God? I can read all day long, nothing is impossible. But sometimes we need a little touch from the Lord, amen? A little hands-on confirmation, something like God saying, hey, I got this. 6 months. God is in the details. Very specific timing. Very specific timing. He sent a very specific angel, Gabriel. The angel Gabriel appeared to the prophet Daniel more than 500 years before these unfolding of events. Now, I don't think for a second that Gabriel was napping for 500 years. He probably had countless missions he was on for God. But when there's important news, it seems like God dispatches Gabriel. Those prophecies for Daniel that we look at so much when we talk about the end times, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9. When Gabriel appears, he brings powerful and important messages from God, and this time was no exception. And look how the message starts. Just like we talked about two Sundays ago with the shepherds, right? Mary, do not be afraid. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. Fear is common with mankind. Do not be afraid. If God is for us, who can be against us? Have you received news that made you afraid? We don't have to be. Do not be afraid, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary, do not be afraid. It's not every night an angel shows up in your bedroom. But you don't have to be afraid. Unusual events, what a high calling. Overwhelming circumstances that she's going to face in the course of carrying this child, delivering this child, and raising this child. Right? Herod's going to try. You don't have to be afraid. God will move you, send you, care for you. You don't have anything. You're displaced. You're out of your hometown. You're raising the Son of God. It's okay. He can send some wise men with some gold and some frankincense. You don't have to be afraid. Nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel, specific angel. And Gabriel had a specific mission. God sent Gabriel on a very specific mission. Go tell Mary. Tell her. Let her know that she's found favor with God. Let her know that she will have a child. Let her know that he will be great. Let her know that he'll be the Son of the Most High. Let her know that his name is Jesus. You read the parallel accounts. Gabriel delivered some other specifics to Mary. What a great privilege, right? Out of all the angels in heaven, you know, right? Pick me. Can I deliver that message to Mary? Well, probably not going to be your mission or my, it's not going to be any other angel's mission. It's a once and done. You know what I'm saying? But what a privilege Gabriel had to deliver that news, right? Maybe you want to write that down because we're going to revisit that in just a moment. What a privilege Gabriel had to deliver that news to Mary that night at that specific time. What a privilege Gabriel had to deliver that news, that message. It was a specific lineage. There are a lot of specifics here, huh? It was a specific lineage, Mary's and Joseph's. But Joseph was a descendant of King David is important for the movement of Joseph to Bethlehem in fulfillment of the prophecy where Jesus is going to be born. Because there's going to be a decree, right? The very specific timing. Just at the time, what a coincidence. Just at the time that Jesus is going to be born, there's going to be a decree. And Joseph's going to have to go to his hometown. He's going to have to take Mary because now she's in his lineage. He's going to have to go to his hometown, Bethlehem, and be registered in this census. And although Joseph was not his DNA father, Joseph would be considered in the royal line through the rites of adoption. Jesus would be, I'm sorry. Jesus is going to be adopted by Joseph. The rights of adoption are very important. Matter of fact, the rights of adoption are very important to us as well, and we'll visit that again in just a moment. Also, Gabriel was sent to a very specific young lady. Mary was not a prophet or a priest. She was not in God's temple performing acts of service. She had not served under some notable rabbi. She had no degrees or any such thing. She was just a young woman who was living at home and planning her wedding. Mary was engaged. What Mary heard from the angel would change her life forever. She wouldn't have picked this path on her own, but she submitted to God's path for her. And her life did change forever. And so did her eternity, because Jesus died for Mary's sin as well. See, Mary had another specific detail. She had purity in a very specific area of her life. And let me just say, friends, wherever we're at, I love the fact that God allows us to start again. Amen? Our sexuality, this area of her life that she had purity in, human sexuality is a sacred treasure. It's a holy gift from God. Read through the scriptures and see how much God has to say about human sexuality. It's all the way back in the garden. Before Adam ever knew Eve, that God begins to prophesy about the seed of the woman. Already within mankind was the ability to conceive and to bear children. And God wants that to happen within the blessed confines of a sacred, holy covenant. Human sexuality is a sacred gift from God, and Satan hates it. The devil's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life. And that abundantly, the full life that God intends for us to have. Human sexuality is a sacred gift from God. We need to treat it that way. And if we've gotten away from that, we need to reclaim it for the glory of God. Amen? Reclaim it for the glory of God. So Mary, she had purity in a specific area of her life. And as a result, she had a very specific question. I'm going to have a child, but she wasn't doubting God. Zechariah was doubting God when Gabriel appeared to him, and for that he didn't get to speak for 9 months until he had a child. She wasn't doubting God. She was just saying, all right, how do we do this thing? It's kind of a logical question. Are you with me? I've never been with somebody. Do I need to go ahead and get married or what? No. This can be radically different. She wasn't questioning God's announcement. She didn't say this cannot be. She said, how can this be? I've remained pure, waiting on my marriage, waiting on the covenant of marriage. And God told her through Gabriel, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will be the catalyst for conception. Now, quickly, let's revisit these specifics. Why? I think it's good to learn facts. But man, if we miss, there's a reason these are recorded for us, not just to know who Jesus is, not just to know he fulfilled the prophecies, but so that we can learn about God. And how God works in the lives of people who love him and know him, like Mary and Joseph. What did we say earlier? The things we see are not only about Mary and Jesus and Gabriel and Joseph. These details reveal how God does things in the lives of all people. We're not just assimilating facts, but we're learning how God works in our lives. Be careful to not miss the specifics, because God doesn't miss a detail. I mean, he did tell us he numbers the hairs on our head primarily so that we would know that he loves us. But how detailed is that? Are you with me? Look back at those specific points, a specific time. His time, not Mary's time. His time, not our time. Do you ever have a problem with the Lord's timing? I mean, sometimes I want God to do things, and I want him to do them now or yesterday. We shouldn't jump ahead of him, and we shouldn't lag behind him, and we shouldn't be discontent with his timing in our lives. This event is just one piece of a puzzle. Man, Mary's the timing in her life and Elizabeth's life and John, this is God, man. He's got this huge canvas that he's painting on, right? And we don't want to be the piece of the puzzle that says, well, I didn't want to do that over here. I want to do it over there. No, we want to snap right into the place God has for us. Amen? So we've got to learn to trust his timing. It's not all about us. After all, it's his painting. It's his handiwork. And God uses us the same way today. God's timing is impeccable. Let's trust it more. What are you waiting for? Doesn't mean we don't pray. Doesn't mean we don't keep asking. But it means we wait with a confidence in His timing. God, I know You hear me. God, I know You hear the cry of my heart. I know You see this longing. God, if it's a good thing, I know You're going to do it in Your time and in Your way. A specific angel. We talked about that. God sent an angel. You may not be an angel. God may send you an angel. He surely can. Largely, God speaks to us through His Word today. But friends, He's not limited to it. He won't contradict His Word ever, but He's not limited to it. Right? If we have somebody appear, something shows up and tells us something that doesn't line up with God's Word, we can know that's not God. He never contradicts His Word. But God does speak through people. God does speak through circumstances. God can use angels. God can use life events. He can use many things. He can use dreams. He can use us. What if God chooses you specifically to convey a message to someone else? A specific angel. That applies to us. A specific lineage, right? We know the lineage of Joseph. We know the lineage of Mary. I don't know all the specifics of your birth, your parents, your siblings, your life. Now you can do that DNA thing, right? I'm 90% this, 30% whatever. Wait, that'd be 120%. I'm 60% this, 30% that, 10, whatever, you know? And we get curious about that. Where did I come from? Because why? We're trying to find something about us, significance and place and belonging. You have a very specific physical lineage, and you also have a very specific spiritual lineage, and you have a very specific development or lineage in your life, and God knows all those details, and God's in all those details, and God will use all of those details, especially the painful and difficult details. He'll redeem those, and He'll use them for His glory. You say, well, you don't know everything that happened in my life. You don't know the family that I was born into, or maybe you're like me. I was adopted at birth. I have no idea, nothing about my birth parents, nothing. God does. I was adopted, right, into a family that just wanted a child. Well, thank God. But you know what? Within that family, there were a lot of challenges. Man, a lot of challenges in my upbringing, right? There was deep sickness, especially in my father. You know what? God didn't miss those details. As a matter of fact, sometimes we look at those things and we go, well, that was bad, and that was hard, and that was, how could God be in that? But do you remember what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Friends, nothing is impossible with God. Those painful details, those difficult details in our lineage, God wants to redeem those and use them. Matter of fact, that's when it's a miracle. When everything's right in our lineage, when everything's right in our life, and we're going, everything's great, and this is why, the whole world goes, yes. But when things are all messed up and seem all out of place, and we say somehow God is taking all these bits and pieces of brokenness and He's making something beautiful and He's got a purpose in my life and He's using me to bring glory and honor to His name, the world goes, wow, that's amazing. Nothing is impossible with God. And by the way, like we said earlier, although Joseph was not technically Jesus' father, Joseph would raise him. Joseph would adopt him. And by the way, in John chapter 1, it says, to those who believe in Him, He gave the rights to become sons of God through adoption. Right? Jesus was adopted into that physical royal lineage through Joseph. A specific young lady who's engaged. A specific young lady who is sexually pure. But other than that, Mary had nothing that the world would look at her and go, wow, you know, you've got the education. Wow, you've got the high family. Wow, you've got the, you know, all of this. No, all the characteristics that to that day would make her a person of no account seem to make her especially useful to God. Isn't that amazing? So you ever look at yourself and think, I don't have anything really spectacular? Good. That's great. You're in a really great place to be used by God, and not only to be used by God, but to glorify God, because you won't think it's you. You'll absolutely know for sure it's not you. God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience that he's ever required of anyone. We may feel that our ability, our experience, our education makes us an unlikely candidate for God's service. Well, maybe I should say that differently. Our inability, our lack of experience, our lack of education, our lack of intelligence, our lack of good looks, our lack of money, we may feel all those things make us unlikely candidates for God's service. Don't limit God's choices, for nothing is impossible with God. Let's just visit a couple more things real quickly here as we revisit the particulars, the specific mission. God does have a specific assignment for each of his believers. Probably nobody's going to have a virgin birth again. Just saying. So relax a little bit, you know. But he assigns, right? This was his mission for Mary. We don't choose. He speaks. We need to obey. We need to be like Mary. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. You're going to change everything about my future, right? When you think about a young lady, especially in their culture, this was it. This was the big deal. This is going to be her husband. She's going to raise a family for the glory of God. And really, I don't know that there is a more beautiful, wonderful calling of God than to bring, right? Do you ever think about it when a child's born? This is a brand new, eternal being. There will never be another child like this ever. Ever unique, part of dad, part of mom, child, boom, raised, eternal soul, exists forever. Going to have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and live with God forever and glorify. It's a phenomenal thing, right? Phenomenal thing. What a mission for Mary. She's going to have a family. God said, well, not quite a normal family. And sometimes God comes to us and he calls us to do things that aren't quite normal. And like Mary, we may say, I don't understand. How could this be? But that was really just her question, really. If you will clarify, I will obey. It's good. Ask clarifying questions. Lord, what is it you have for me? What is it you want to do in me? What is it you want to do through me? And like Mary, if he clarifies it for us with something we've never heard of or experienced, right? She's like, oh yeah, the lady down the block, that just happened to her last week. No. In all of history, Mary's never heard of anything like this. But that's okay, because nothing's impossible with God. Do you ever doubt God? I doubt God. Sometimes God's like, I'm going to do this. I can't see it happening. You know what? It doesn't stop him from doing it. You know? Makes it a little harder on me, because I get fearful and I worry and all of that, rather than just walk ahead in faith. Nothing is impossible with God. Like Mary, let's be ready to surrender our whole life's plan to his plan. Right? What's God's mission for you? We said we were going to revisit something about Gabriel. Gabriel had a mission. He had a message to deliver, and what a message, right? Let her know that he will be great. Let her know that he will be Son of the Most High. Name him Jesus. In parallel accounts, it says he's going to save his people from their sin. Wow, what a powerful message. What a powerful message he got to deliver. But if we think that's a privileged message to deliver, think about the mission we've been assigned. Think about it. Think about the news we've been assigned to deliver to everyone we can. Not only was Jesus born, not only is he Son of the Most High, she's on the leading edge of the greatest story. Are you with me? She's just getting the introduction. She's just the introduction to the events. Not only is his name Jesus, but Jesus also will live a sinless life. And Jesus will suffer in our place to pay for our sin and the sin of the world. Jesus died and he was buried, but he's not buried anymore, because he also rose. And because he rose and because he lives, we can live too. That's a message, amen? And guess what? It's our mission to deliver it. That was our first core element. That's a mission statement of Church on the Rock. We didn't pick that mission statement. God picked that mission statement for every church, for every gathering of believers. And they may not be holding it up high. We may not be holding up. We may be members of Church on the Rock where we say, this is the first core element. It's our mission statement to go and make disciples of Jesus. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, it starts by telling them the good news, because somebody can't become a disciple of Jesus until they become a follower of Jesus. And you can't follow somebody you don't know yet. Amen? So you share the good news about Jesus, and when they say, man, I want that. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be forgiven. I want to have him in my life. And when they bow and they ask Christ to save them, right, their sins are absolved. But not only that, something else happens. There's a catalyst for conception, right? Ephesians chapter 1 tells us whenever we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, whenever we believe on him, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And later in Ephesians, it tells us to be filled with the Spirit. The catalyst for conception, for the virgin birth, is living in your soul if you're a believer. What's he going to bring to life through you? Because nothing's impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. If you're 80 and you think, I've done what I could for the Lord, oh no. Nothing is impossible with God. If you're 8 years old and you're a believer and you think, I'm too little for God to, nothing is impossible with God. Friends, would you grab your prayer cards for a moment? Grab your prayer cards and think about, is God stirring something in you? And it may be just a stirring. You may not have much of a parameter for it. There may be something that God's stirring in you, and something in this message is reawaken that, and you're like, yes, I know there's this, or it's unfolding. Like sometimes, like Mary, he reveals it a lot at one time, but he didn't reveal everything. Mary didn't know everything she was going to go through. There's something different, though, between Mary's time and our time, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The power of the Most High came upon her. But after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit was poured out on believers, poured out on us. And he produces new life in us day after day, miraculous life. And as much as we surrender to him, like Mary did, that new life will flow. Miraculous things will happen. We aren't created for the average ordinary. God works in the average and ordinary, but he does miraculous things in the average and ordinary day. It becomes supernatural. Because the Holy Spirit's working in us. A trip to Walmart's no longer just a trip to Walmart. It's a mission for Jesus, my friend. And the Holy Spirit can put you in the right aisle at the right time, looking at something you didn't even plan to buy, because a person right next to you needs to know the love of Christ, and God has a plan for them. And you're on mission. And you've got greater news than Gabriel had. Greater news. Better news. New life. Forgiveness, grace, and mercy, belonging, security, peace, love. Like we'll never know apart from Jesus. That's our mission. That's the message that's been entrusted to us. And I pray that as we move into 2020, God just so fills us individually and as a body of believers with his Holy Spirit, so fills us. Man, his light's just going to shine out from Church on the Rock, from this family of believers, and it's just going to draw people to Christ for his glory. There's nothing greater we can be involved in. So you've got your prayer card. What's God doing in your life? Is there something that I can come alongside of you and lift up in prayer to the Lord? And put it down. I would love to pray with you. Your prayer card is confidential. Nobody else is going to read that. Let me know how I can pray for you.